Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. Luke chapter 11, let me just catch you up. If you weren't here last week, we've been on a brief series from the book of Luke on prayer. And if you weren't here, here's what happened. We did kind of a straw poll here, and here's what we realized is we all know we should pray more, and yet we don't do it. Like, there's a struggle for us to pray, and what we said is that reveals how unbelievably powerful prayer is and how our adversary, the devil, wants to keep us away from the power. And then we saw that the disciples finally said, "Hey, Jesus, you're killing it in prayer. Could you teach us to pray?" And so Jesus began to teach them about a very familiar prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And it begins, "Our Father who art in heaven." And if you remember that prayer, we remember last week we said, while it's not wrong to just recite the Lord's Prayer, believe it or not, it's more of a blueprint, a prototype of how we are to pray. And as we look at God, our Father, then we begin to elaborate on what does it mean that God's our Father and your kingdom come? What do we mean when we're saying that? God, may your rule and reign come to my life, come to Northern New Jersey, come to our nation. And so on and on, it's just kind of a prototype and how to pray. And then our takeaway was this, is that when we pray, that we should always think relational and not technical. Because it's a relationship. We were to refer to God as Abba, Father, as Dad, all right? And so it was fascinating to me. There was a Discovery show special. It was narrated by Morgan Freeman. Like, is he amazing? Like, you could just he could just recite anything, and you'd be like, wow, that was fantastic. And it was kind of ironic that he played God in Bruce Almighty, if Christian watched such foul movies, right? But he narrates this documentary about the power of prayer and meditation in the human mind. It's called Through the Wormhole. You can Google this. And here's what they did. They took a neuroscientist and they injected dye into the kind of the brain or into the body. And it would show, they did a brain scans of people when they would pray and they would meditate. And they did the atheist. And the atheist, when he would just kind of meditate, no change. They did the Buddhist. And when the Buddhist, when he would meditate, it was the same as if someone was staring at or focusing on an inanimate object, all right? And then they did the Christian, who would pray, and the brain lit up because as if you were talking to a real person, because you are speaking to a real person, God, your Father, all right? And so it's this idea of relationship. And how crazy is it that God chooses of all the metaphors to reveal to himself to us as Father? Because fathers, God created fathers to be loving and to be strong. And that's who your Heavenly Father is. And then this week we're going to read part two to that prayer because Jesus continues his teaching on how to pray. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 13 this morning. Jesus is going to kind of warn us, and I wish we could have just stopped with the Lord's Prayer, because this section, I wish this wasn't in the Bible. Have you ever had things like that? You're like, ooh, why is that in there? Because Jesus is going to forewarn us that, hey, when you pray, buckle up. Prepare to be patient and persistent. Do you see what I mean? Like, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. Anyone else? But he says, before anything, you got to know this, you're going to have to dig in and you're going to have to believe. And so patience is a prerequisite to prayer. And listen, if we were to be honest, we are living in the most impatient time in human existence ever. Come on, isn't that true? Now, listen, I see some folks my age in here. And so can you give me a shout out and amen? You remember when we used to make popcorn? What did we do? We got the kernels. Yeah, we heated up the pan. We had to put oil in it. Wait for that. Put it in there until finally it started popping. You know what you do now? You put it in the microwave. And even that, you're so spoiled. There's a button that says popcorn on it. Okay? Do you remember this one? Do you remember when we would go to the movies? You either have to have a newspaper for the listings. You would, Gen Xers, you have no idea what a newspaper is. And then, or you would call the theater. Do you remember this? And you could get a busy signal if someone else was calling at the same time. And then what did you do? If your movie was the fifth one on the thing, you had to listen to all the times of every show till they got to yours. Like, that's a real thing. We did that. Do you guys remember this? We would take a photograph of somebody, and do you remember what? We wouldn't just go, wow, look at that. Ah, oh, it's no good. Let's junk it. Let's do another one. Do you remember what we did? Take the picture, wait till the roll of film was full. Then you had to go to a photograph shop or your local pharmacy, wait a week to 10 days until you get the prints back. So listen, I mean, now we just are just beside ourselves, you know, when the internet, your Wi-Fi doesn't connect immediately, right? How many remember dial-up? Remember that? And so we're the most impatient. So to hear that we need to be persistent and patient when we pray, it grates against us, but don't say it. Jesus can't say, hey, I told you what it's like. And so here's the big idea for us today is we pray expecting, but we stay persistent. Pray expecting and stay persistent. And that's kind of the big idea. Luke chapter 11, God's going to show us that there's a persistence to our prayer. I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. Jesus is continuing from the Lord's Prayer, and he says in verse 5, and he said to them being his disciples, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within. And so in other words, he's not even opening the door. He says, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. In verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. That word impudence, most translators will translate it because of his persistence, that he'll get up just because he won't go away. All right? And so like, you got to ask yourself the question if you're a thinker, God, why do we wait? Like, you're God and all, and you can do anything in a minute, in a moment. I know you love me. You say you're my Father. Well, why don't you just give me what I want when I need it? And so here's just some, this isn't exhaustive, but here's a few thoughts. I would say this, is that waiting, it strengthens our faith. Like, if you get everything when you ask for it, when you request it, then there is no waiting. There is no faith entailed. You don't have to trust. So faith can never be exercised. And we read in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so he's a good father when he tries to strengthen and mature his children. Here's another one. Waiting teaches us to know God's voice. And so moms, you're going to dial into this one. I thought this was such a great illustration. Like moms have this uncanny ability to understand baby talk. Isn't that true? I saw Ozzy smiling right there. Is like your kid can just be like, and you're like, if you don't know them, you're like, what are they doing? And mom right away, oh, they want their milk bottle. And then you hear the same thing. It sounds the same to me. No, they're not hungry. They just want their choo-choo. Do that. And you're like, this is unbelievable. Like, how do you understand baby? And then I love the mom's response. We spend a lot of time together, right? And that's what waiting does. It keeps us in the presence of God, and we start to discern and understand his voice and his ours. And here's the other one. Waiting keeps us near to God. Would you agree? I'm not proud of this. I don't know what it is in my nature, but when I'm blowing and going and things are going good, bank account's good, home's good, health's good, I'm a little bit further from God. But you just put a little bit of pressure. Just turn the heat up a little bit. And I'm like so far tucked under God's wings, you know, it's just like, hey, Lord, I am near in those moments. And I don't know why that is. It just is. And how about this, that waiting keeps us humble. You know what? Every time we go to God and request things and we're crying out to him and asking him, do you know what we're conveying to ourselves? You're not God. You can't do it all. And that's a good thing. It creates a humility in our hearts. And the Lord is clear about this, that he resists the proud, but he gives much grace to the humble. All right? Here's another one. Prayer and waiting, it aligns our heart with God. Like it knits our heart with the Lord. And I'll use this as an illustration, and Dottie will shout me out. Like, I don't know if you remember, but several weeks back I had you fill out a 3x5 or 4x6 card. I don't know. I can't remember what it is. But one of these cards, and I just wanted to know, what areas of your life were you getting weary in? What is the thing that God's asking of you? And as we were praying over these cards, I was just overcome. And I called Dottie. I'm like, oh my gosh, Dottie, this is our people. And just now I understood when Paul says to the church, he says, I carry you in my heart. And there's this bizarre thing as we pray for you and over your needs that it knits our hearts with your heart. And how much more Almighty God, when we come to him and we just vomit out everything that's in our soul and that we're troubled with, it's something that aligns our hearts and knits our hearts with him. And so he invites us to come. And so we get this word impotence or persistence in prayer. And so we don't use the word impudence very much. Let me give it to you in the Greek. It's the word anonadia. Anonadia. But here's the key thing is an means without. And then adia is modesty. So the big idea is persistence. It means without modesty. So it's not just poor, like just kind of pounding and I'm not letting go. But it's almost a rude, kind of bold, demanding kind of a faith that I'm not going anywhere until I get what I want from you, Lord. And so if that seems kind of odd to you, let me give you, it's all over the New Testament. And we just read the story. Isn't it funny that I love that Jesus tells the story from the negative point of view? Like he doesn't say that there was a man, a righteous man, who was wrongly persecuted, but he persisted through, right? He doesn't do that. He says, there's an ignorant friend that we all have that has no idea of what's socially acceptable. And he comes to your house in the middle of the night. Hey! Hey, right? And he won't stop bothering you. And why does he do that? Because we all have that friend in our life, do we not? Right? And so everyone's going, oh yeah, I know that guy. And for the record, if you don't have anybody like that in your life, it's because you're that guy and you need to quit it, okay? And so the New Testament is just filled with these examples of impudence, this shameless asking of God. And I'll give you this one in Mark chapter 10. We hear about a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus means, it can mean the son of honor, or it can also mean the son of filth. I'm believing it's the latter because this man is blind and he's a beggar. And so this son of filth, he's almost losing hope until he hears of this rabbi that's been doing miracles is rolling through. And as he does, as he hears the throng behind him, he begins to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Until finally, I mean, literally, this is in the text, they're like, shut up. You can't do this. The master's coming. Be quiet. And almost as if provoking him, he upped the volume. And so I'm not sure how many of your parents have ever had your kid work you like this in the mall, right? They know, like, they want this, but you're like, no, you're not having that, Johnny. And then they start crying, and you're like, oh, people are looking. They're looking. And then he knows if he ups the volume, your resolve lowers, okay? And that's kind of almost what we see here. And he starts upping the volume louder and louder. Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Jesus, son of David, losing all source of what's socially acceptable. And Jesus jams the brakes. He gets out. And he heals this man. And so I don't know where you're at this morning in your prayer life, but listen, do you have that level of desperation over your prayers? That you're like, hey, God, I got no plan B. If you don't come through, I'm in trouble. And that just kind of, Lord, I need you. And it's that desperate faith that for whatever reason, God hears that. Here's another one. The Canaanite woman is in Matthew chapter 15. And this is a woman, she's not even part of God's people. She's not a Jew. And she's a Canaanite, a Gentile. And so Jesus, in his earthly ministry, came to minister to the Jews. And so here's what happened. This Canaanite woman is crying out because her daughter is possessed or oppressed by a demon. And so she starts crying out, much the same as Bartimaeus did. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Now, you moms, you need to feel me on this. Something's wrong with your kid. Tell me you're not just crying out to God for your baby and for your children. And so she's crying out so much so she won't stop screaming until finally, and this too is in the text, our loving disciples, they say this to Jesus, send her away. God, get rid of her, Jesus. She's driving us crazy. And so she still won't relent until finally Jesus says, hey, what can I do for you? And she says, I want you to heal my daughter. And Jesus says something pretty bizarre here. You want to talk about a relentless faith. He said, little girl, he says, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. The word literally is puppy. Okay. I don't know if that's any better. But here's her response. This unashamed, she says, but even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs. Jesus is like, ho, because of that word, man, your prayer has been answered and your daughter is healed. And so do we have that kind of persistence in our prayer? Let's go on. Luke chapter 11, let's read verses 9 through 10. It says this in verse 9. It says, Jesus goes on and he says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And so we understand. So you need to understand a little bit of like Greek grammar. I'm not trying to be some kind of more than I am, but I can open up a Bible software. And here's what it says. The tense of the verbs are ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. It's active imperative, and imperative means it's a command. And so God isn't saying, hey, you know, if you think of it, if you really want to do this, he's like, no, he's commanding you. You ask and you don't stop asking until I call you home or you get what you're asking for. All right. And that's what he's implying to us. And so here's what I love. So that word in the Greek is the word aiteo. Aiteo, all right? Can we say it? Aiteo, all right? You're Greek scholars now, just like me. And so, but here's what happens. I love this that God says, ask and keep asking. It's almost like he's distinguishing between broken earthly dads and then your heavenly father. Like, dads, how many of you can shout me out on this one? How many of you ever had your kid just beat you down? Dad, can I have ice cream? Dad, can I have it? Not now, son, not now. Dad, until they ask you to a point where, and if the safe place did not be okay, you lose your mind and say, I'm going to give you an ice cream, all right? Right on the back of your behind, right? If we did such things, okay? And so sure enough, we just snap. And yet not our Heavenly Father. He says, bug me, bother me, keep asking. Aiteo, ask. It can mean to demand or to plead for. And so I love this. How many have ever read the book Circle Maker by Pastor Mark Batterson? Circle Maker, a few of us. Listen, I have a couple copies. If you're interested and you'll read the book, I'll give you the copy. All right? Fantastic book. But in it, he tells the story of this first century BC sage by the name of Honi. And Honi, we read about him in Josephus. He's a Jewish historian, and in the Mishnah. It's a Jewish commentary book. So it's not in the Bible. This is extra biblical, but here, but we can be pretty confident that this took place. And he was known as this mystical sage who had this unbelievable connection to God. And when he prayed, things happened. And so there was a drought in the first century BC that people were dying by the thousands, and they cried out to Honi, Honi, pray on our behalf. Intercede to God for us on our behalf. And so Honi came out with a giant staff, and he made a circle around himself. And then as he's in this circle, he declared to Almighty God, God, I will not remove myself from the circle until you answer my prayers. God, bring the rain. Bring the rain, God. And he was just adamant and stayed until finally the clouds began to roll in and a gentle little weak rain began to trickle in. But I love, Honey's not done. He's pleading and demanding. He's asking our gracious Heavenly Father. And here's what he says to him. He says, Lord, not this kind of rain. He says, I want the kind of rain that fills cisterns and caverns. And so suddenly it began to violently pour down rain until things began to flood. And I love Honey unrelenting. Like, I'm nervous listening to this guy pray. And he's like, no, God, not like that. Not something that's going to tear down, but God, send the rain that will bring life. And this beautiful rain began to pour down. And so this is the type of prayer that God's asked, that when we are to ask him, aiteo. Here's the other one. He says to seek. So here's our Greek learning for today. Here's another one. Zeteo. Zeteo. You ready? Zeteo. You guys are not helping me at all, you know? All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to just talk to this side. All right? And so zeteo. And so it means to search out or to find where something is located. Zeteo, when you take out your map app. How many know I can't get anywhere now without the map app? You know, and you're trying to zeteo the location of where you want to be. And so there's a story. I can't believe I hadn't heard about Bobby the Wonder Dog. Have you guys heard of Bobby the Wonder Dog yet? See, I was like, I did not hear about this. So this is back some time ago in the United States, and so there was a couple that had their dog Bobby was a Scottish Shepherd, and so they had a Scottish Collie, and so they had this dog, great dog, and they lived in Oregon, Silverton, Oregon, and they had to go visit family in Indiana, so they drove there, and when I say drive there. It's think Model T and that type of thing. And so they go there, and then Bobby is out with just running around, well-behaved dog. So it would come, but another group of dogs came around and scared Bobby, and the dog ran away. They couldn't find the dog. Well, it was time for them to head back to Oregon from Indiana. And so they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, I thought for sure that Bobby would come back, and then Bobby didn't come back. And they made the 2,500-mile trip back to Oregon, and Bobby was nowhere to be found. Until 6 months later, there's the journey. 6 months later, this Scottish collie shows up in town. Everybody knew Bobby, and there it is, bloody paws, just beat up, matted. They actually had the Humane Society went back and they saw all the homes and the people that ministered to Bobby as it could get all the way back home again. See, that is a relentless zeteo. I will not, I'm either going to die or I'm going to find my way home again. And so I tried to Google a compelling story about cats and I couldn't find, this is the best I could come up with, Clark. This is... I got this. Oh, yeah. The cat thought it could zeteo to the ledge, and it could not. sorry about that, Viola. Sorry about that. Here's a true zeteo story. I want to show you Rascal. Rascal is an Australian Shepherd. My daughter, for whatever reason, collects dogs, and so she tried to pawn. This is Rascal. Tried to have Rascal come and live with us to go with our three dogs. Not a great combination. So we decided we'll watch a Rascal for a couple months. And so we had Rascal locked in our sunroom with our other dogs, and Rascal saw something outside, blew through the screen door, and got out. And so I'm like, my daughter is going to like disown me if I don't bring this dog back home. And so I'm once asking, seeking, knocking, God, you got to bring this dog back. And so I'm looking, we spot the dog in the neighborhood. And so I'm running around trying to corner this dog. And then finally, people in my neighborhood start joining me. One dude pulls over, come on, I'll help you. And so I got this mob of people following me, and we're chasing this dog, this Australian Shepherd dog. We get it into a vacant lot. And one of the guys yells at me. He goes, hey, cover the perimeter. He can't go anywhere. I'm like, perimeter? What is this, CSI? What? I don't even know what that means. And so we think we got the dog cornered, and sure enough, just when we go to grab him, bam, it shoots out, runs off into the night. And so I don't know if you see, this is a black dog running off into the dark night sky. And I'm like, well, that's a wrap. Being the man of faith I am, I was like, pfft. So I called my daughter. I'm like, baby, I am so sorry. Rascal is gone, and you need to prepare your heart because he's gone to be with the Lord. That dog is dead. And my daughter, just undeterred, unmoved, she says, no, Dad, we're going to find that dog. That dog, we will find that dog. And I'm like, oh, baby, that's really cute, you know, and that ain't happening though. And sure enough, 3 days later, my daughter Zateo'd that dog 14 miles away from our home. She found that dog, and we got that dog back home again. And so that is the type of seeking and pursuing that God asks of us. Do you want to hear something crazy? In the Hebrew mindset, when they hear the word Zateo, it can also be the Hebrew word for worship. That as you zeteo, as you're seeking and pursuing and you're trying to find and get to God in worship. If you ever sang and it just, man, God, I just feel like I'm just singing songs. I don't feel you and sense you. It's because you're in the process of zeteo. You're seeking out the face of God in that moment. And you got to keep seeking what? Until you find him. You either find him or you die trying, and so you keep worshiping and pursuing God, Zateo. Here's the last one is this knock. Once again, active, imperative verb. It's not an option. He commands us to knock and keep on knocking. Anyone ever seen The Big Bang Theory before? Sheldon Cooper, you guys watch that show? I just read my Bible, and I don't know what you guys are horrible, you know? Do you guys remember Sheldon? Penny. And so this guy will just relentlessly pound on the door and annoy you until you're going to open that thing. You cannot say no to it. And that's the kind of knocking that God, he demands of us. It means I'm seeking entry to something that's closed to me is what the word denotes. And so knock is the word cruo. I won't make you say it. Cruo. But it means to seek entry. And if I can read for you Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to the church at Philadelphia. And the Lord says this, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. And so the key of David, that doesn't mean, you know, a whole lot to you and I, but you can read about the key of David in your Old Testament, and it was possessed by a man by the name of Eliakim, and he had the key to the palace. He was the governor over the palace, and the key, it represented authority and power to open any door in the kingdom and to lock any door in the kingdom. And we go to Jesus, the one who has the keys. I don't know what doors have been slammed in your face and you feel like they're locked shut, but there's doors that no man can open, but Jesus can. Like Jesus can unlock those doors if you'll continue to knock and keep on knocking and not let go. There's doors in it that need to be shut and locked, and if you appeal to him, that he will lock and shut those things off for you in your life. And so there's a story as well. There's a man by the name of John Ortberg. He's got a great Presbyterian church on the West Coast, and he's a prolific author, and he writes about this guy, Bob Goff. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. Christian man, lawyer, a diplomat, best-selling author, all these different things. But he wasn't always that way. And so Bob Goff, as a young man, he had a heart to practice law to help people. And however, the only problem was he couldn't get in law school. And so he went to this one particular law school where he tried to enroll and was denied. And so what he did is he sat in the dean's office And whenever the dean would walk through, he would properly step up, address the dean, and say this to him. He'd say four words to him. He said, "Sir, could you just bless my life, change my life by telling me four words? Go buy your books." And he's like, that's cute, son, but no. And he would go away. And the next day, Bob Goff would be sitting in his office, greets him again. "Sir, would you change my life? Four simple words. Go buy your books." "No, son, I'm sorry. That's not happening." But this went on day after day after day. Classes had already commenced, and yet Bob is unmoved, and he's staying, sitting in the office, until one day the dean comes in, sees him sitting there again, and he's like, "Son, I'm going to tell you those four words." He says, "You go buy those books." Right? And so he got into law school. But I love the quote from Bob Goff. And here's what he says about getting in. He says, "Once I heard somebody say that God has closed a door and an opportunity they had hoped for. But I've always wondered if when we want to do something that we know is right and good, God places that desire deep in our hearts because he wants it for us and it honors him." He says, "Maybe there are times when we think a door has been closed. Instead of misinterpreting the circumstances, God wants us, get this, to kick it down. Or perhaps just sit outside of it long enough until somebody tells us, okay, you can come in now." And so I want to encourage you. I pray that you're hearing those words as you just are undeterred in your faith. Like some, as you just feel like, "Man, that door is just not going to open for me." And I want to echo Bob's words to say, "Hey, maybe you just stay there. Don't be moved. And then here's the last point is this. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. I want to give you a perspective to our prayers as Jesus does. Verse 11, he says this. "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" For the record, in the book of Matthew, it says, "How much more will the Father give what they ask of him?" And so if God's giving you himself, the Holy Spirit, what else could he possibly withhold from you? All right? And so, but here's what I need us to see and feel a little bit. Jesus wants us to know he's a good father who gives good things. And sometimes if we're asking God for things and we don't receive them yet, it may be because they're not good for us. And listen, I know we don't want to hear that. I get it. I don't want to hear that. But I don't want you to project your circumstances on your Heavenly Father, that somehow he's cruel or not good. See, he's more mature than you and I. How many know that, I'm going to be working with the youth this year, and I'm so excited / terrified about it. And if you've ever been with youth, and if you're a young person in here, you know this is true. How many know that teenagers know everything about everything? Isn't that true? Until you become an adult and you realize, oh my gosh, I was a moron, right? And you have this moment of epiphany. How much more an eternal God and you and I that are these finite beings, right? That we would say that, "God, you see better and know better." Funny moment / moment of confession for me. My wife and I, in May, it'll be officially 30 years of marriage. And maybe I'll roll out the great pictures of me rocking the white tuxedo with tails, right? But I do remember this time distinctly I was working the do for the wedding day back in that day. See, now in our culture, now dudes kind of just are out in the open drinking in people. Look at how beautiful I am. Awesome. Well, back in our day, we had to pretend that we didn't care and we'd be hide out and do it in the bathroom. So I remember I'm working my do. I'm rocking the mullet, right? Business in the front, party in the back. And so this thing was tight this day, right? And I'm like, "God," I remember praying this prayer. I'm like, "God, I wish my hair could always stay like this and then went away." Can you imagine? I'd be rocking the mullet with you guys. You would not let me be your pastor. How gracious is God that he doesn't say, "No, you're a moron. You're going to regret that prayer later on in life." But when we giggle and stuff like that, you know, there's stuff that's not so funny, though, that we feel like we've been asking the Lord for, and it's just like, oh, God, and I just need you to hear that God's good, that he loves you, and he's only going to give you what's good. And in that right time, God is going to answer your prayer.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.